Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 10 to 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is four verses. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends and Baladev, would then respond to the bees by imitate their singing while his friends sang about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making his cowherd boyfriends laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. Om Agnatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. I see a good percentage are listening to both classes, so it's hard for me to repeat things that I said in the first class. But we did glorify His Holiness Bhakti Tru Maharaj just briefly. You could read about his accomplishments, but there's a saying that I heard that I thought was just as important, that a person is remembered more for how he makes people feel than the accomplishments that one has achieved. And I was just mentioning that even in personal dealings and how people felt that he really represented in Prabhupada's movement what a Vaishnav is and how careful one is in his dealings, not just intellectually, but from the heart, to show respect, kindness and empathy to people, and Brahmatirtha got on the end and expressed, because he's involved with ISKCON Resolve, what a relief it is that someone is looking for peace and not war, because it's the age of Kali Yuga, so there's so many divisions. So, and then I mentioned how I got a call from Borijan last night, and lamenting, because in Ramananda Samvad, a discussion with Ramananda Roy, which I deem the greatest document on comparative religion ever written. It's so subtle, the different varieties of religion. But at the end, questions are asked by Maharaj, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy, who's so qualified. What is the greatest pain? It's the separation from a Vaishnava. And therefore, Borijan, you know, mentioned to me that he was thinking we're in for a decade of tears just by the nature of when Prabhupada came and took so many young people. And now those young people, that was so foundational. And he also mentioned, in the world of internet, it's global. So really, any Vaishnava that's prominent, he's in your life like never before. And because he passed away so suddenly, it even has a greater feeling. So he described that this will be the decade of tears, because so many people are coming of that age. I think every senior leader in the movement is within five years of being 70 years old. I'm 70 myself. So now with the pastimes of Krishna, and I'm realizing as I am studying these pastimes of Krishna that you really have to pray and look deeply and try to get a perspective in them. Not just a perspective, but there's only so much Sukadeva Goswami can describe, because it's not just understanding Krishna is not just intellectual, it's revelatory. And I always make the point that that's the fact with any person. We know a person when we love a person, and a person trusts us and reveals themselves to you. So a lot of the Bhagavatam is the basic core is there that anyone can read, but to understand it, one has to pray and to serve. So we've been trying not just to read and read the Bhagavatam intellectually, but to serve it. And I think a very nice vision is coming out. And I wrote about this in Monday Morning Greetings. I got some mercy this week, because my energy level is lower than it usually is. And the mercy is that there's a famous author, Pasquale, he said, "I'm sorry this letter was so long, I didn't have time to write it." So my Monday morning greetings are quite clear. I mean, that's the opulence of them, and people are appreciating the clarity, but understand that clarity takes a long time. But I had some mercy this week, and basically almost was just be able to write it. And what I was writing about was the article was called The Sounds of the Ultimate Reality. And the basis of it is, I think, what we're going to be studying today. And what we're going to be studying today is that the senses are a vehicle for the expression and experience of love. That's a fact. It doesn't have to be for sense gratification. And when it's for love, it can be spiritual. And there is sensual perception in the spiritual world because there's an exchange of love. I gave this simple example when a mother loves their child and cooks something for them, or someone loves someone and cooks something for them, and the other person appreciates it. They're eating, it's more than the taste, it's the emotional experience. And when the person who's cooking is eating it, the relish is not just the taste, but the love that it communicated, the pleasure of the other person. So I'm trying to look at these pastimes, which are so sensually rich. If you can even remember the colors we're describing, as the forest is blooming, as Krishna is entering in the forest. The colors, the visual, not only the colors, the shape of flowers. And their fragrance, and even their texture. And how it's all a direct manifestation of the heart, just like you may sing to express something. It could be anywhere from the Star Spangled Banner of patriotism to a love song. It's really what's manifesting externally is the heart, in the way that you can share it with someone and let a person actually experience that. So we've been looking at the pastimes of Krishna in that way. I was concentrating on the sounds, and that if you are in a spiritual place in the spiritual world, if you hear properly, you will experience love and devotion just by hearing, submissive hearing. That's why it's so important to hear from people who have love for Krishna, because when we can hear, especially the Bhagavatam, which is just an expression of that. So in the spiritual world, people are hearing Krishna's flute, and they're hearing Krishna's love for his devotees. They're hearing Krishna's love individually. They're hearing the recognition of their love for Krishna as he blows their flute. And the response is the pleasure of Krishna in terms of kirtan and what that kirtan is like. And then Krishna entering the forest and the symphony of birds, who don't just have one pitch, they have many pitches, cadence, tunes. They're actually incredible singers that can also sing in harmony to the incredible expression of Krishna's flute. So if we imagine the spiritual world and resonance in the spiritual world, just by opening their ears, their hearts are overflooded with bhakti. Their hearts are overflooded with bhakti. And we'll continue that vision. Not just the external vision, but the emotional content that's being described. So let's just go through these verses, and I think we'll enjoy them in that way. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became mad with ecstasy, so mad that they closed their eyes and began to sing. They're in ecstasy. Of course, they're flying from flower to flower, taking pollen. That's kind of an intoxication. And their eyes are closed. When you are relishing something inside, you close your eyes because you don't need to be stimulated outside. It's only a distraction. So if you really are relishing something, like a kirtan, you want to close your eyes because it helps you when you shut off the external senses, the senses can go. So there, what are they relishing, those bees? And what does it sound like? And we already know that even though the birds are singing so beautifully, somehow those bees really allure Krishna. Just they're buzzing, but it's not just buzzing. It's intoxication of love. And it's actually not just from the flowers. They're surrounding Krishna. And in that proximity of Krishna, so we may enjoy hearing bees, but hearing bees that have love for Krishna do something to the heart. So why should this not be a reasonable description of the spiritual world? Why shouldn't it be a place where the heart is completely overwhelmed with universal love, love for Krishna, Advayam Gyan, consciousness, which is non-different from everything? Why shouldn't it be just flooded and overwhelmed with love in an unprecedented way? But it gets better than that. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd friends and Baladev, would respond to the bees by imitating their singing while his friends sang about his pastimes. So Krishna then begins to imitate the bees and perfectly. So it's an expression of God's lila, which is his enjoyment, which is his love. And he, now Krishna, and you're the coward boys and you're watching this, and Krishna now closes his eyes and begins to imitate the bees along with Balaram. And that's significant because Balaram is the first expansion and the servitor Godhead. So he's just always with Krishna. There's no independence doing anything. So he's just with Krishna, side by side. And the cowherd boys respond singing to his pastimes. And it's described here that as beautiful as the bees are, that they're alluring Krishna to that sound as he enters the forest, as he's playing his flute to a symphony of bees. The cowherd boys begin to sing even in a more beautiful way, with sonorous melodies from heartfelt, and the ability to sing spontaneously Krishna's pastimes in perfect meter and perfect rhyme on the spot. Why not? So that's also there. So now it's just let's say you're a cowherd boy and you're hearing Krishna's flute and you're hearing the bees and you're hearing the kirtan and you're hearing, and why not just open your ears and feel the love? Then there's many forest paths without any thorns. And Krishna is just going from one path to another. And as he sees a particular bird, it's so charming. He begins to imitate sometimes the parrots. There's no order. It's spontaneous. And sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of the cuckoo. And sometimes he's going by the bank of the Jamuna, and he sees the swans, and they have a thing, and it imitates the swans, and it's just a let me put it this way, Vrindavan's got talent. And you've never seen anything like this before. Never. Unprecedented. One second, a call came. One second. Mooney, I'm in my class. I'll call you in a half hour or so if you're free. Okay? Okay, no problem. I'll try to call you. I'd love to speak to you. Professor Matthew Dasty called. He's always fun to talk to. So the cooing of the swans, so the paths lead down to the Jamuna, and the Jamuna River is flowing. When I used to visit Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I visited him both in Oxford and Cambridge. We used to walk along the bank of the Thames, which was outside of his house. I think it was Oxford, I'm not sure. I think it was Oxford. And, you know, the queen's swans, they're protected birds. They're so beautiful. So imagine the swans, the graceful swans. And again, every movement is by the internal potency with an expression of love, and then Krishna imitating them. And it's just so beautiful. And sometimes he would vigorously imitate the dancing of a peacock. So Krishna is what? He's Natavara. Baharpidam Natavara Babhu. He's Natavara. He's the most excellent dancer. The apsaras are great dancers, and when the demigods come to see Krishna, they sometimes play music. The apsaras will never dance. Krishna's dancing is unprecedented, and he just, you know, the peacocks go, and Krishna does his wonderful peacock dance. Now, when you're in the forest, it's easy to get lost, and these are forest cows, so we know that cowherd men put bells on their cows, especially the lead cow, because they so easily can disappear. So it happens in the forest, and this is particularly beautiful, and that Krishna keeps, mainly Krishna's playing. He has the cowherd job. He loves the cows, but it's not a lot of work. So he's playing. So when the cows kind of disappear, then they get called. And when he wants his friends, they say, it says sometimes with a deep voice as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. It describes like a cloud. So a cloud, like, it also has some kind of opulence. So it's like a power, it's like a rumbling. And the rumbling is calling out names. And it describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there are three symptoms of prema: a desire to serve, a desire to be with, and a desire for relationship. And the recognition of relationship is when someone calls your name. I remember I was in Vrindavan in Prabhupada's last days. And I remember he asked for one devotee. I think his name is Chitsukananda, or how is the, you know, but just that recognition of the name. If you have a relationship like Prabhupada's disciples did with him, the recognition of his name. And sometimes when Krishna would call the name, it wouldn't just be the name. Like he'd call a cowherd boy suddenly, Sridham or Subha, you know, the enchanter of all. He would use what's called Rasika language, some indirect description of a person that would create even more affection. So in the rumbling of the clouds, and then Krishna's calling out the names of affection of the cows that wander, and herds of cows have particular names. So it's so spontaneous. It's like dancing like a peacock and cooing like a swan, and then like a cuckoo, then the parrots, then the birds, then the dancing, then the rumbling. And actually the animals, you know, it's natural to wander off to get fresh grasses, but their motive in wandering off was to hear their name called by Krishna. There's a book, Madhurya Kandambani, where it describes the different stages of devotion. When it comes to prema, it describes how this one devotee enters the spiritual world. And the first thing the person hears is his name by Krishna. And he becomes overwhelmed. It's so beautiful, Krishna's sonorous voice filled with love calling your name, that it just, the senses just can't even contain the emotion of that. There is emotion, and there is spiritual emotion, and there's supreme spiritual emotion, and is carried by the vehicle of the senses. And one way is the voice. And Krishna's voice carries his love for the devotees, and no one is left out, because he's God. So we'll go on to another verse. Sometimes he would cry out imitation of birds, such as the chakoras, the crunches, the chakravas, the bharadvaj, and peacocks. And sometimes he would run away with the smaller animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. Fear is bitavat, like, because the animals in Vrindavan are not dangerous. There's actually a saint in Rajasthan many, many years back that had principles of environmentalism. I forgot what they were called, but a friend of mine told me he went there and he was amazed, because they preserve huge tracts of land with animals, and how somehow they all get along. Remind me of Vrindavan, they get along, but at the same time, It's such a bond of friendship when you are afraid together. Even the, what to speak, the cowherd boys, you know, a cat can say meow, and they can jump. And Krishna would say, "Let's go." Let's go, and they would run. And the smaller animals would come with Krishna, and they would also run. Let's run. And they would hide in small caves. when his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. So Krishna is a Kilam Rasamrita Murti. So he doesn't just enjoy being served, because everyone is serving him. He enjoys service, serving others. Actually, we can't have a misconception that Govinda is the supreme enjoyer, that he's blowing his flute and just enjoying the love of his devotees. He loves his devotees, and he has to love his devotees, because you enjoy love from those whom you love. So unless Krishna had a strong love of his devotees and a strong desire to serve his devotees, he couldn't experience their love to the fullest. That's why, by necessity, we worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not just the supreme position of Godhead, the supreme personality of Godhead, which entails that he's controlled by the love of his devotees. Because what do you call someone who's not responsive to the force of love, who's not controlled by love? You give your heart fully, you give everything fully, and they're not affected. No. We call that person impersonal. So Krishna's completely affected by the love of his devotees, and he wants to serve. And he has an elder brother, and the younger brother serves the elder brother, even though the elder brother is also fatherly. The elder brother is a friend, the other elder brother is a servant, so he experienced that. So he's also serving Krishna, he's protecting Krishna in that way. But now Krishna is serving him, and he won't do it through the other, he wouldn't let the other cowherd boys do it. He's doing it himself. And that's the nature of service, you know. There's one thing in deity worship, I remembered it, how, let's say you're a very rich king or a big sannyasi and you have deities, and then you have your disciples or your subjects. I think, one second. You have your disciples or your subjects do the worship. You don't get the credit. It's the bhav. You don't get the credit. So one who has a relationship, yes, he wants the person served, but he wants to do it himself. That's part of love. So Krishna, and then a cowherd boy is a lap, and he offered all other services to his brother. Why should God be denied the sweetness of service to a superior? His brother is older, after all. Sometimes, as the cowherd boys danced, sang, moved about, and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities. So now, after all this, right? They're running through the forest and all the paths, and Krishna's imitating the bees and the swans, and then he's dancing, and then everybody's so joyful. It's all Leela. And then there's a little exhaustion. And then, of course, Balaram's laying down, but in the enthusiasm of service in the spiritual world, exhaustion is also just rasa. And you don't have to be exhausted. The cowboys are not exhausted. So then Krishna and Balaram, like you see in the Krishna Balaram temple, hand in hand, you know, like that, their friends start performing with them. So what do you imagine the cowherd boys' dances are? I know in Union Square sometimes you see, you know, the top break dancers in the world or something. Everybody crowds around and the top singers. So there's this incredible talent for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. And their prashashamshatu, they're just praising them. Wow, that is incredible. How did you do that? And they're just dancing in an incredible way. I don't know if we can even imagine it. And what they're singing is, and the harmony among them. And then they fight. They fight expertly. They wrestle. This is what boys do, but this is so expert, and it's all inner consciousness for the pleasure of Krishna. That's how friends can give pleasure to other friends by demonstrating talent is a wonderful expression of love. If you're doing it for someone else. Okay. And sometimes Krishna grew tired of from fighting. One second. And lay down on the base of the tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd boyfriend as a pillow. So added to this now is now Krishna would want to rest. So what the cowherd boys would do is they'd be running through the forest and collecting twigs and flowers and just constructing these incredible beds for Krishna and Balaram, for Krishna. And of course, Krishna could lay on everyone's bed. They would want to keep themselves, the cowherd boys, their laps as pillars. But they're ripping, and it's so creative, and some are working together, putting little twigs together and then finding cushions of soft flower and then more twigs and different shapes. And the mood of just service. And Krishna is not, he's not really tired. He's just enjoying love. So he's just laying there and laying on the beds. Okay. I always have the standard of going as far as my realizations and energy carry me. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to stop for a few questions and then have our realizations, and then the community can say hello to each other. But Gail has been so patient, I'd like to give her the opportunity to ask any questions she wants.
I don't think Gail is here. She mentioned to me she was going to have to miss class this morning.
What's that? Her name is there.
Oh, she's there. Okay.
Okay, we'll tell her she got her chance. Okay. Okay, would anybody like to Would anybody like to share a realization from the class or something that struck them?
I roll my eyes.
Hey, Jamuna Jaya. Yeah.
Thank you for class. I was loving, as you know, I spend a great deal of my time with children, and I'm just loving the scene of Krishna imitating the animals, and I'm just reflecting of like, that's what kids love to do. They love to do that animal thing and run around, and so I was just, the scene for me, because I spend so much time around children, was just so vivid. I could see Krishna doing it like the adorable kids that I see.
Wow. Wow, Jamuna Jaya. You probably like to imitate some animals too for Krishna's sake.
Yes, that's a big part of my job, Maharaj. Kids turn me into animals all the time.
It may have a spiritual, you know, thing where you're with Krishna in the forest. I can actually imagine it, that there are people, yes, there are coward boys with your enthusiasm, right? That Krishna imitates the animals and they imitate the animals, and then you're dancing for Krishna, right?
I do a darn good monkey, I have to say. The kids love my monkey.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else like to share a realization, something from the class?
Hare Krishna, this is Seva Nandini.
Hey, Seva Nandini, Hare Krishna, yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. And I would like to say something to be corrected if it is necessary.
Yeah.
I heard that you said that whenever...
This is someday, just when we're going to get this incredible question, Seva Nandini's country shut off the internet. Seva Nandini, when you're back, just come back. Would anybody else like to share something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Takarani.
Hey, Takarani, Hare Bo.
Thank you so much for the class. I like the phrase when you said, whenever they open their ears, their hearts overflow with bhakti.
That's the process of devotion.
Yeah, and I was just like reflecting whenever I'm really concentrating and focused, what a shift it makes in my consciousness and how.
Wow.
What a difference it makes.
Yeah. We have to surround our life with good kirtan and good Krishna katha.
Thank you for arranging it for us.
That's what pleases Krishna. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, Srinvata Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyanta Sto Yabhadrani Vidanoti Surit Satam. That Krishna is Surit Satam. For the devotee, he well wishes them. And he becomes inspired when they discuss among themselves. And he blesses them. And what he blesses them with is attachment. The greatest thing is to be attached to the things that are good for you. That's the most powerful mind. So that's the blessing. One day we become attached to what's good for us, which is service to Krishna. We become completely selfless. And that's prema bhakti. And our whole consciousness shifts into one of happiness. Because that's what happiness is. Thank you, Takarani. Would anybody else like to share?
I love your idea about Krishna calling us for our own name.
He does. His flute. Actually, what happens is his flute can call names. And what the cowherd boys say, well, you know, Mother Yasoda must have gotten such an expert instrument maker to carve these kind of flutes that can actually call names. And the cowherd boys are very expert flute players. So they grab the flute from Krishna and they begin to play it and nothing happens. So they said, wait a second, you had this special flute. How can it work to me? Krishna said, let me try. And he doesn't even wash it off because he just loves the prasad of the cowherd boy, and he begins to play. And it has this incredible way that they can't tell if Krishna's, it's his flute or it's a human voice. But the thing is that recognition of our relationship with Krishna, and that it has to be personal, and that if we practice devotion, he will call our names. Thank you, Gloria.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello or share something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranams.
Oh, Tina, thank you. Okay, thank you.
I love your classes always. One thing that really stuck with me was that when you said when we really relish something, we close our eyes and really, in one sense, cut off the external senses to enjoy the internal bliss. And that's just a really nice reminder for me that even looking at past experiences, yes, when we're in kirtan, we're closing our eyes, we're feeling the energy, we're raising our arms, just sing our hearts out. But to really tap into that bliss to, in one sense, try to seal off those external senses so that we can truly relish and experience that internal bliss. So thank you so much. That was really nice.
That's also there, but we have to know that the external can also turn off the external. For example, when you go to Barsana and there's this Saint Ramesh Baba and he has a girls' school where these girls are trained in Krishna consciousness. And in the evening, they come down to this big hall and he used to play his Casio and used to play his, you know, beautiful bhajan. Shama Gauri Nitya Kishori Prita Majori Siradhe Vasika Rasilo Chaila Chabilo Gunagara Bilo Sri Krishna Jayarade. And he used to, and the girls for 1 hour would twirl, like whirling dervishes. So after that, I went up to see him and I asked, if is this in our tradition? He said, yes. They completely forget the body. So that's actually what yoga means. Eventually, a good yogi, the body should merge into the earth and he's just there with his consciousness. So yes, closing the eyes and whatever it takes. That's why it's good to be healthy to practice meditation, because it says in the Yoga Sutras, we should be sukha and sthira, steady and happy. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, Hare Bo.
Well, I loved the point that you were making about the sweetness of the name, and that, you know, when there's a relationship and affection, to have the name called is such a sweet interaction. And I was just reflecting that how amazing it is that there, you know, to have our names called by a sadhu, you know, and all of us have a relationship with you and hopefully many other also exalted devotees. And so the fact that they even know our names is just so ecstatic, really. It's just like such grace and such mercy to have a sadhu even say your name. It just feels like, wow, I don't deserve this. How does this person even know who I am? I'm just like insignificant.
Very nice realization, Lisa. Very nice. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh boy, you're such a nectar hound.
I really remember that last year in Vrindavan, you told the same story to all the devotees in your room. And I felt that I am in Vrindavan with you and all the devotees.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You have to have that realization. When I spoke to Borijan, you know, they're not, probably won't even be a Govardhan retreat this year. You know, it's so risky. I mean, he's in his 70s, his lungs are not so good, you know, and devotees won't come. Maybe Zoom, he said. But You know, Rupa Goswami said, if you can't be there physically, you can be there in the mind. But he was saying that maybe it was just an incredible mercy, the way the world was, how we can so easily pop over to Vrindavan, you know. But he thinks that after some time, we will all again congregate there in Govardhan, chanting in ecstasy.
Wow. By Krishna's mercy.
Yes, thank you. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Hari Bol.
Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Gopa.
Hari Bol. I liked how you said that Krishna and the Cowherd Boys developed a bond of friendship when they were presented with danger, that it developed their bond of friendship.
It is, right? It's a man's thing, right?
Yeah.
Especially the one that's the leader. Let's go, you know? Yeah, thanks. Good. Wow. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Narma Saki.
Oh, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, Maharaj. I love the point that you mentioned that Krishna's service devotees to experience their love to the fullest, and that he's not... he's not the enjoy only to be served. I like that very much.
Right, right. You appreciate love more from someone whom you love.
Yeah. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
So yeah, this is somehow or other we're entering into Krishna's Leela, and we have to enter there. So this is nice. And enjoy your new place for the service of Krishna.
I'm waiting, Maharaj. You know.
I know. Who knows what this world is going to be? Who knows? Yeah. It can turn any way.
Yeah.
But that's the first place I come.
I pray to Krishna every single day.
If it could happen. Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Oh. We will meet there at Narmasaki's.
Sure. We're waiting for you.
Wouldn't that be great? Right?
Yes.
Maybe Krishna, that would be like amazing. Sure. I would just eat the Supreme Personality of rice all day. That's all I do. I wake up in the morning, I'd want it prepared. I go sleep. When I get up, I want to eat more. I would sleep again. That's all I want.
I'm sure Narmasaki can do more wonders.
And you know, Guru Maharaj, the rice is right from our farm.
Oh, really?
Yes.
People here, they don't understand what rice is. You have to understand this rice, you put in a cup in the room, it's more fragrant, the room, than the most powerful incense you can get.
I hope one day I can serve all the beautiful devotees here.
Okay, we'll have a huge festival there.
Why not?
The Supreme Personality of Rice Festival.
Yes,
one time I had this Italian devotee, and he just purchased a new house. And he was a nice guy. He actually got me my first car. And real Italian. His father was born in Italy. He said, Marge, how can I get the devotees? How can I get the devotees to come to my house? I said, okay, let me brand your festival. It'll be so packed people can't get in. And call your mother over to help. So we called it the Mother of All Italian Feast Festivals. And him and his mother cooked like every variety. The place was packed. I called it the Mother of All Italian Feast Festivals. Okay. I wish we can eat by Zoom. Okay. Sevananda, you had your question now? Your computer's fixed? No.
Yes, I'm here.
What's your question?
Okay, The other devotees asked my question already, and it's clear okay. Now. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
But I'm crying as you describe how it would be wonderful when you come to Narmasaki's house, and I wish I would be there.
Wow. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Jai Kishori. You like to hear your name called by your guru?
I love it. And I love that story. Oh my goodness, what you were telling about Krishna when the cowherd boys tried Krishna's flute.
Yeah.
And then he took it back and you can't tell whether it's the flute or his voice. So beautiful. Well,
when they took it back, it didn't work.
Right. So,
and they were saying, it can't be you. We're as good of flute players as you. It must be a special flute that your mother made, because they couldn't distinguish it from a human voice. So when they took it back and they played themselves, then it didn't work. All rasa, all lila. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Bal Govinda.
Hare Bal.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bal.
Is that a different place you're watching than you usually, or it's the same place, just the camera?
Oh, same place, different angle.
Different angle.
I'm getting a little variety for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great.
All right, well, thank you for
so class. Nice, huh? A Sunday morning, two classes. It's so rich. You know, where we used to look to go to a temple, and then we travel to it, and it's basically social life, and then maybe, you know. It's like really something. It's like, I guess you also go to Wisdom of the Sages, and then
yeah,
it's like 3 hours of classes. It's just filling up the heart so much.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
Yeah, you are. And then yeah, they're only 20 minutes from me, so they sneak over here every once in a while also.
You're probably sick of us by now, I'm sorry.
What's that?
You're probably sick of us by now. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not sick at all. I love when you guys come over. I just hear all the laughing upstairs, so I figure everyone's happy. And then every once in a while, I call my barber for a haircut. I think because I'm going on the 13th upstate, I think, I don't know, we'll figure out a time where you could come and cut me.
I was telling Kadamba that maybe on Sunday, after class before lunch, I can come over if that was good for you.
That would be great. Maybe after lunch, help me pack and figure out how to get out for the next day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell the devotees.
If you want, if you want, we can even cook lunch. So if you want to let us know what you would like.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. For the devotees, they know he's, you know, I sit out in the sun and I got a big black cape and I get the whole thing shaved and the eyebrows with the comb, and it's everyone, every man likes to go to the barber shop, sit there relaxed in the sun. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can.
Hi, Bal. It's Jill Kaylee and everyone else.
Hey, Kaylee. You got to coordinate to get a call to me. We got to touch base next week, okay?
Hello.
Okay. All right, we will leave for now, okay? Thank you all. Hare Krishna.